I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You're live in the Hive with the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at the Pleasure Pier in Galveston.
Live in the Hive, we are broadcasting live from Pleasure Pier in Galveston on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. We saw Mauricio Dubon play a little bit of first base. Mauricio Dubon making the start at first base on Wednesday. Finally, it's about time you get a little bit of Mauricio Dubon at first base. Didn't get a lot of work. I think he caught one ground out because Javier didn't give up a lot of ground balls, although he wasn't in that game that long. Would you rather, Blankers, would you rather your everyday first baseman to be Jose Abreu or Mauricio Dubon? I cannot believe we are asking this question on June 23rd.
I mean, ideally, I would like it to be Abreu, and I'd like him to be hitting a whole lot better. But you can't do that. You can't predict that. I know that the good thing is that Dubon keeps hitting the ball, and there's lots of places you can put him in the lineup. I just think because of the fact that they paid so much and for so many years, they're not ready to – I'm going to stand fast in what I said is they're not ready to pull the plug on the experiment yet.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to do anything, for at least especially right now. Maybe closer to the deadline they might have to. But I think for the time being, I'll say Abreu.
If I had to play one of these guys the rest of the way, and that includes a potential postseason, how is it not Mauricio Dubon? Dubon, who is not a slugger, Mauricio Dubon, who does not walk almost at all. He's very much a free swinger, swings early in counts too. Doesn't really work the pitch count of a whole lot of pitchers. Mauricio Dubon is slugging. The takeaway average, takeaway on base. Mauricio Dubon, little itty-bitty Mauricio Dubon, who told you that he stopped trying to hit home runs. Little, skinny, itty-bitty Mauricio Dubon, who is not trying to hit for any sort of power, is slugging 100 points better than Jose Abreu. That Mauricio Dubon is slugging 100 points better than Jose Abreu. How is that possible?
I don't understand how that's possible, but I don't understand how Abreu is this bad when they signed him thinking he was still that good.
He had a good year last year. The power was gone, but like he hit the ball hard.
We talked about it. We thought maybe there'd be a little bit more of a surge in Minute Maid Park, but overall, even if there wasn't, in this lineup doing what he did, you know, less than a year ago, it made all the sense in the world that this was the guy that we both were excited about when they went out and signed him. But with all that being said, the reason why he's not going to be moved is, and I know you're going to hate this, is because management and ownership are going to force the hand of Dusty Baker and or Dana Brown and say, he's got to play. And it's not trying to win a World Series. And that's where I know it's going to bother you the most. It's not a baseball-only decision.
Yeah.
It's a cover-your-rear-end decision as well in saying, hey, we know we still in our heart of hearts believe we made the right move, and we got to give this guy every chance to succeed.
Yeah, like I get the – and you're probably right. That's what the Astros are going to do. But if I had to pick one, and my season is in the balance, I got to go Mauricio Dubon. Willie saying that be quiet, you're better than this. Look – Jose Abreu right now has the worst WAR for an everyday player in all of baseball. The Astros are losing more value playing Jose Abreu than any player in Major League Baseball. Jose Abreu, even after his surge, his two-week surge in June, Jose Abreu, after his surge, has the worst OPS of every regular in Major League Baseball. Not some slap-hitting shortstop, not a really slick-fielding center fielder who can't hit a lick. Jose Abreu, Jose Abreu has the worst OPS of every regular in all of baseball. If I had my druthers, give me the guy that isn't the worst player in baseball.
Yeah, if we're making this decision closer to the playoffs and we know that the total body of work continues to be less than stellar for Jose Abreu, then I think that we're going to have a totally different conversation, and it's really going to come down to who has the most clout command and who's going to make the final call. Is it going to be ownership, or is it going to, and Jeff Bagwell, or is it going to be the true general manager and or manager that is in charge of winning baseball games? Because that's going to tell you all you need to know. Because you're right. When you look at this, this is a disappointment that playing out every day looks like you've sent every, you thought everything you could do to send every message you possibly can. You've given him support. You've tried to lift him up. You've also sent messages by sitting him down a few more times than maybe you'd like to let him know that, hey, we're going to have to start trying other people at your position because you're underperforming. He's come out and said, I take ownership. I blew a game with a base running error, and I know I'm not hitting worth a bleep, and I know that this is on me. But now it's just about every avenue of trying to motivate and communicate and get him to kind of jumpstart his season. You've done all of those things. If he continues to flail around and be less than average,
yeah,
at a certain point closer to the playoffs or the trade deadline, you're going to have a really hard conversation and a really hard decision to make.
The finances are the reason he's continuing to play. I mean, $35.90, if it wasn't for the contract that he has, he would already be designated for assignment. I think that's true. If you were paying Jose Abreu $1.5 million, he'd be gone. Like, he wouldn't. I don't think he'd be gone, but you wouldn't be playing him every day. He wouldn't be starting every single day.
You look at the two guys that you were pretty confident in the moves that Bagwell made. The two moves, the three, where you were totally confident that these guys doing what they did a year ago, maybe you overpaid. In the case of Abreu, you gave him an extra year. In the case of Montero, you gave him a little extra money. But you thought these guys at least are going to be steady. They're going to continue to do what they've been doing to some degree. And because of the fact that they haven't been able to do any of it, it has everybody concerned. It has everybody up in arms. And it has everybody pointing fingers at everybody in that organization going, how in the world could that happen?
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. Seeing Mauricio Dubon in the lineup yesterday over Jose Abreu at first base, I was like, okay. Like, I'm excited. And that's – honestly, it's sad. Like, that is the take. The take is that on June 23rd, 2023, we are clamoring for Mauricio Dubon at first base instead of Jose Abreu. And that is a testament to where Jose Abreu is at. The lowest WAR of any first baseman in baseball, of any player in baseball. The lowest OPS of every regular in baseball. We are clamoring for Mauricio Dubon, who we wanted to DFA in the offseason to only play sparingly, that we are calling for him to play first base, a premium offensive position.
And you know who takes it in the shorts more than anybody on this? Mauricio Dubon. Because if Abreu was doing his part and just doing what he was supposed to do, we would be singing the praises of a guy that we were ready to just fold up the tent and go home on and just say, hey, you're nobody's personal center fielder anymore. You can't hit the baseball. We don't have room on our roster for you. And then all of a sudden, because of what he did when he filled in for Altuve and how he proved to everybody, I'm capable of hitting and doing things that no one that follows this team expected, we would have been singing his praises, celebrating every day and saying, this is a guy we can play anywhere at any time, and he is going to hit. And instead, he kind of is an afterthought because the main concern is, where can we put him to cover up the woes of guys that aren't living up to their end of the bargain and doing what they're supposed to be doing?
Yeah. See, it's interesting, too, because people are starting to talk about, okay, when Yordan comes back, if you get Brantley back, what is your plan at, like, left field, DH? And people have the Yiner-Maldonado conversation. I don't think the conversation should be Yiner versus Maldi. Yiner needs to be playing every single day. The conversation needs to be Maldi or Abreu. Like, if you're going to have one light-hitting player, okay, well, the conversation is, do we want Maldonado to catch, or do we try to get Jose Abreu going? Like, because Yiner could play catcher. He could play first base. So the decision shouldn't be Yiner or Maldi. It shouldn't be Yiner or Abreu. Yiner's fixed. Yiner's in the lineup, should be. The conversation needs to be, well, what do we value more, Maldi or trying to get Abreu going? That needs to be the conversation, not which one is Yiner starting over.
The automatic out last year in this lineup was the 9 spot. It was Maldi. And you were able to accept that because of everything else that he brought to the table, but everything that this offense brought to the table. But the fact that you have two almost automatic outs right now, at Maldi at catcher at 9, and then Abreu, and to make it worse, in the middle of the lineup when Dusty kept forcing him out there in the 5 spot or the 4 spot, and you're going, I mean, what is he not seeing that we see on a daily basis, and why is he doing something that we just can't believe? If you're going to even force Abreu into the lineup, have him in 7, 8, and 9. Have him move down in the lineup. Maybe that even takes some pressure off of him, so maybe we can see if he can find – you can do something else to jumpstart him. Yeah. But the fact that he kills you on two different levels, one, where he's hitting in the lineup, and two, that he's not performing – and Maldi is the other guy that's not performing as well, that's tough to overcome.
Yeah, you can – right now you can play both because you don't have Yordan in the lineup, so you can DH Einar. Brantley's not playing yet. Who knows if he's ever going to play. They seem to think that he's going to. So right now you can kind of afford to get Abreu going. That's why you don't have to make this decision right now today. Although, you know, Dubon's not playing every day. You know, Abreu's starting more than Dubon. Should that be the case? Like, we were having the conversation on Monday. Should Chaz McCormick – have equal starts to Jake Myers and Corey Jolks? No, he shouldn't. He should be starting every day. Chaz should start every single day in the outfield. I don't care if it's in left. I don't care if it's in center. The rotation should be Jake Myers and Corey Jolks. It's the same thing with Yiner Diaz and Mauricio Dubon. I want to see more Yiner and Dubon than Abreu and Maldonado until they start to trend the other way. If Dubon starts to hit towards his mean and he's hitting 220, and Jose Abreu starts to hit towards his mean and plays to the back of his baseball card, that's when you got to start flipping it, especially if you're in a division race. Like, you don't have the luxury of being five games up.
That's what I was talking about yesterday when you weren't here. My big thing is you have to continue to remind yourself you're not in the position you've been in for the last six-plus years. You're not in a position of strength. You're not running away with the division. You're not capable of just throwing out experimental lineups and giving guys extra time and expanding your rotation of players at certain positions because you're so far ahead, no one's going to catch you. You're trying to catch the Rangers. You're trying to solidify your playoff position so you can avoid being bumped out early in a short series or without having home field. And so you can't do the things you've done in the past, and you've got to get out of the mindset that, oh, it's going to be fine. When we get Yordan back, when we get Brantley back, everything will be right in the world, and by a little after All-Star break, we'll be in first place, and it'll all be over. It's not that simple, and it's not that way this year, and you've got to change your mindset because of it.
713-780-ESPN. Would you rather Mauricio Dubon be your everyday first baseman or Jose Abreu? 713-780-3776. Robert Manfred is up to his old tricks, and Bill Plaschke is pandering to the City of Angels with a hit piece on the Houston Astros. We got to talk about that. It's the Killer Bees broadcasting live from Pleasure Pier in Galveston on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at the Pleasure Pier in Galveston, it's the Killer Bees.
Andrew Carlson is engineering for us today, and he's really loving the music here at Sweet Scoops on Pleasure Pier in Galveston, where we're broadcasting live until 3. The Wheelhouse will be here until 7. Andrew told me that he loves doing our show a lot. I'll just leave it at that. Looking good today, Andrew. Looking good as always. Killer Bees broadcasting live at Sweet Scoops. Nothing to say there. Robert Manfred is up to his old tricks. Did you see this about Robert Manfred?
Oh.
He was on he did an interview with Time magazine. I didn't know they published magazines anymore. Said that he would like a do-over on, quote, some of the discussions surrounding the Houston situation, referring to the electronic sign stealing scandal. Quote, I'm not sure that I would have approached it with giving players immunity, Manfred said. Once we gave players immunity, it put you in a box as to what exactly you were going to do in terms of punishment. I might have gone about the investigative process without the grant of immunity and see where it takes us. Starting with, I'm not going to punish anybody. Maybe not my best decision ever.
So I was interested in your thoughts because this is both of our favorite guy to like put the crosshairs on, and we're both frustrated with Rob Manfred. Creighton and I discussed it at length yesterday, and I was like, Jeremy has to be here. We got to get his comments on yet another episode where Rob Manfred does it again. And to me, just to summarize some of the things that I had said was, why now? Why are you restirring the pot? Why when it's already way behind you? And are you just looking for something so that people start to get off your rear end and that every fan base but the Astros can say, you know what, he's not a complete bumbling idiot that doesn't know what he's doing. But instead of leaving the focus on Astros, Dodgers, two good teams playing two or three games on national TV, right on the cusp of these teams playing, he lights a fire and then gets out of the way and doesn't realize it's a bad look for all of baseball when these conversations come back up, but yet he continues to try to start the fire.
This is Manfrod trying to pander to try to get some of the fans back onto his side, yep. And he doesn't really have a clue. The scrap of metal. What are you doing there, Robert Manfrod? Why would you bring down your own trophy? That's silly. The A's situation where he kind of took a shot at their fans. Silly. And he's saying this now, I think, in an effort to be more likable. And this backfires on him because it's like, well, why didn't you do that in the first time, Robert Manfrod, if you're outside of the city of Houston? Secondly, I wish he did this. Robert Manfrod is saying this with an empty, like, threat. It's an empty promise. With the collective bargaining agreement and the way that it was negotiated between Major League Baseball and the MLBPA, you could not punish them. This is an empty threat. This is empty promises that he's trying to make himself look good. Secondly, I wish you would have. Like, this is the whole thing. The only thing that I will give Jim Crane, like, some criticism for, and I understand that Crane just wanted to try to wash his hands of it, try to eliminate the noise around all of this. I get it. I totally understand it. I wish Crane would have fought back. Okay, Robert Manfrod, you're going to do this, then you have to do the same thing with every 29 organizations around Major League Baseball, and what you're going to find around the league is that we are not alone. We might not even be on the cutting edge of this. We might not even be the most advanced with this. So Manfrod is pandering to the fans. It's backfiring on them, and I wish you would have.
Yeah, that's what I said, too. I was like, you know what? You protect the Yankees over and over again. You've protected when we say, well, why don't you say also you wish we'd have done more with the letter. You wish you'd have done more with the Apple Watches. You wish you'd have done more this year when Yankees pitchers got sticky stuff all over their hands and they don't even get kicked out of the game or a 10-game suspension, but everybody else that has just a trace of sticky stuff on their fingers is getting 10 games and it's a big catastrophe and they're blowing it up all over the place. You continue to try and make the Astros the poster child for a league-wide problem, and yet when you think it's all kind of calming down and the races are good, you've got some good storylines and you've got Ohtani doing what he's doing and you've got individuals and teams and things that make everybody interested in baseball on a daily basis, you and I are on the same page. He's doing a whole CYA to try and get a whole group of baseball fans to just say, you know what, Robert Manfred's our guy because he likes to crap on the Astros as much as we do. Instead of just letting the sport speak for itself, he's tarnishing that logo and everything that goes with professional baseball.
Yeah, I hate even bringing up Manfrod because he's such a fraud. I hate bringing up the past, too, because I think it's – The narrative, I think, is ridiculous, and it kind of speaks and segues to this Bill Plaschke article that he put in the L.A. Times today. Because the Astros are going to L.A., City of Angels, taking on the Dodgers. Dodgers hate the Astros because they got beat in the World Series in 2017, and they tried to make excuses as to why they got beat. They think they were stealing signs. Whatever. Where was Game 7 played?
In Dodger Stadium.
Okay. I wanted to make sure I remembered that correctly. But Bill Plaschke saying that here they come again. This is his column today in the LA Times. Here they come again. They beat the Astros. You know what to do. Quote, cheaters, cheaters, cheaters. 6 years have passed, but the pain has not gone away. The anger is not softened. The outrage is still real. They're wearing your rings. They're displaying your trophy. They've stolen your moment. A day late for Bad Take Boulevard. But here, like, Manfrod was just trying to pander to the fans of Major League Baseball. Bill Plaschke is now trying to pander to the L.A. fans that are reading his column in the L.A. Times.
Bill's clicks must be way down because he was just trying to jump on board to try and pull a Colin Cowherd or, all these guys, Skip Bayless, trying to get, capitalize on the moment to try and fire everybody up and make them read the fan piece that has no substance to it. I mean, when you think about it, then one of the local stations interviewed Jeff Passan yesterday, and he was like, think about it this way.
In L.A. or here?
Here.
Oh, really?
Locally, yeah. I think 13 got him on. And he was like, think about it this way. Everyone else in Major League Baseball committed a misdemeanor, and the Astros committed assault with intent to murder. The difference between all of baseball. And I'm like, Joel Osteen Jr. needs to just take a back seat, never be seen or heard from in Houston again. And you are on the list with Bill Plaschke of guys that must be desperate to hear your name spoken more often and your comments blasted out there and get more people to read your stuff. because there's no content of substance here. There is just a whole bunch of pom-poms being shaken to get everybody to hate on the Astros again.
Let them know you will never forget. Let them know you will never accept. Let them know that even though only a handful of players remain from the teams that competed in the crooked 17 World Series, and this was never about the players. Go look at Mookie Betts' numbers when he was in Boston.
Yeah.
Look what Cody Bellinger did in L.A. during those years and then what he did in his last few years in L.A. before this Chicago emergence when he left the pressure of the City of Angels. Boo the organization, says Plasky, which means booing everybody. Chanted Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman, the two active players from that cheating team. Apply the pressure loud enough for anyone involved in that franchise to understand this is not over. This will never be over. This is the narrative, and the reaction is kind of like sometimes where my ire goes towards. And you kind of alluded to it with Passan. Like Passan saying that everything else was misdemeanors covering up those crimes and then saying that one crime was unlike any of the others. It's like, okay, you're breaking the law more than this person's breaking the law. Trying to justify or rank which laws being broken are more than the others when you don't know the entire story about all of the others. It's the same thing that we saw with like the Carl Ravitches of the world, which I cannot stand. We're going to have to watch them on Sunday night when the Astros play the Dodgers. Cannot stand Carl Ravitch, where they are like elitist in baseball, where like they are the, you know, the protectors of the game. They are the gatekeepers of the game,
judge
the integrity of the game, the judge and jury of the game. Everything else is just so beneath us. And then I mispronounce how to say RBIs, and I say RBI when there's more than one. Like, I cannot stand the narrative and like the elitism that you see spoken about the 17 Astros and then just gloss and ignore over everything else, even when there's proof for other things. There's Apple Watches. There's Girardi on MLB Network. There's other players there's players saying this is nothing. This went on all around baseball. The Astros weren't the only ones. But you have people like the Passans, like the Ravitches, like the Plaskys. I can almost respect that he's pandering to L.A. It's the Ravitches and the Passans that bother me more because, like, they're national guys.
Right,
they're supposed
to
cover the entire thing. Plaschke's a columnist for the L.A. Times. It's being read by the City of L.A. So I can understand Plaschke's more than I can understand the Passans and the Ravitches of the world. But it's that gatekeeping of information of them, like, trying to act, well, this one matters and this one doesn't. No, it should all matter. And that's why, like, full circle back to the man fraud thing. If you're going to do it, if you're going to investigate, if you're not going to give immunity, do it league-wide.
Right, and if you do it league-wide and you just, you come up, on right, you get out ahead of it and you say, all these teams were doing to this level, we realized we need to pay more attention to the ways that we go about the gamesmanship of baseball. We know stealing signs and trying to, you know, read and steal signs has been going on forever and a day. But the way it got so elaborate and teams were doing it different ways, we found a collection of teams that did it. We're on top of it now. We're policing it more. We're going forward. It's Andy Pettit versus Roger Clemens. You know what? At least you admitted my bad. You know, this has been got out of hand. We should have gotten our hands around this quicker. And then you move on and you go from there. But instead, because he tried to make one team the poster child, tried to make sure that if we did it this way, everybody's just going to turn a blind eye to everything else, sweep it all under the rug, don't blame the big markets with the big cash that you, Rob Manfred, know, love, and protect. It'll be fine. And no one will see anything, see through this, and everybody will say, oh, it was just those guys. And everybody's going to see clear of it that it wasn't other teams. We still won't know until we get to the point where all these other players that played on these other teams that don't have anything to lose anymore or endorsements to fall apart, they're going to come out at different times and continue to do what we've already heard.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I came away with yesterday was Rob Manfred makes Bud Selig look like he knew what he was doing a little bit as commissioner. And that's a sad state of affairs.
I know. The last two commissioners in baseball, my goodness. Lamont says, say, for example, something goes bad in L.A. tonight at the Astro-Dodger game that results in bodily injury to an Astro fan. What would this rank up there with inciting a riot, with what Plaschke wrote? So give them heck, you know, make them understand that they're coming into L.A. I wouldn't go that far, but we would look back at that column and be like, I wonder if there was something here. It wouldn't be criminal, but we would look back and be like, I wonder if Plaschke had something to do, not intentionally, but his column orchestrated some sort of bigger thing.
It's the malicious intent, right? It's the fact that when the Mariners were looking forward to their World Series in the middle of the season a year ago,
let's have a reputation,
let's let's boo loud, let's stay late, let's cheer often, let's do all these things and make those guys know that we're here. That's one thing. But when Plaschke's doing it, and he's doing it with bad intentions and malicious intent, trying to totally restrike the fire and then set an inferno up, you got to be careful what you wish for, because we know that if we're just talking about fan bases, he's trying to get these hoity-toity fans to stop sitting on their hands and actually become real fans for a full game because it's a big series. But in the process, he also forgets the fact that these are the same fans that in a rivalry with the Giants have put people in peril to lose their lives in the parking lot because of a freaking rivalry in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That's true. They have a reputation for that, which is terrible. You're right. It's baseball. It shouldn't be that big.
That's right.
713-780-3776. Everybody's favorite game. Who said it? Joe George reached us five quotes that were said by ESPN 97.5 personalities throughout the week. And we have to guess who said it. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
It's now time for the mega producer Joe George to do what he does best, and that's stumping. No one can stump the best stumper in Stumpville, and that's Stumpy Joe.
Stumpy Joe.
What happened to Stumpy Joe?
The official explanation was he choked on vomit.
Today, Stumpy Joe will try to stump the Killer Bees with Who Said It? Let the stumping begin. Let's get stumped. Who said it?
I wonder how many times it says stump in that promo.
Well, can't we get one that
over under 12?
Yeah, can't we get the one where more times than not it's the opposite, that we can say Slumpy Joe on another slump?
Well, he's only lost one in a row.
Right, but he was trying to like get his Hall of Fame plaque ready.
No, I just said I won two in a row.
After
which station would Joe George go into the Radio Hall of Fame under?
He hasn't been here that long, but
multiple stints.
They still got that 650 station that did sports day only.
Oh yeah, I used to Dynamo games would air there.
There you go.
I was on that station all the time.
Yeah, so was someone's dad. I think that when it was business too. I think that Joe would be perfect there for a Wall of Fame.
Where is your longest stint, Joe? Like collectively?
Still the last place.
Walmart.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I didn't know the timeline there.
I never cruised on 97.5, my first in here. I worked on 1560.
Oh.
Your longest job has to have been at Walmart, right?
Don't hate the hustle.
My longest job was at Banana Republic. I worked at Banana Republic for seven years.
Okay.
All right, number
one. That's why you have great fit.
All right, number one. Are we on a speaker today?
We're ready.
Okay. If any of these strip clubs want to advertise here, I'm happy to say whatever you guys want.
Okay, so somebody that's willing to do whatever.
Johnny G comes to mind immediately. Zero you-know-what's given because he basically is co-owner of the place.
Yeah. I feel like it's on the wheelhouse.
You do?
I really do. Like, I feel that they're... Like, it's almost one of those things where you're trying to be cool. Like, Granato and Lance aren't worried about being cool. They just are.
No, but I think John and Lance would say that. Either one of them would say that.
I think it's on the wheelhouse. In fact, I'm pretty certain it's on the wheelhouse.
Because you listen every day.
Well, because when I said that, I read Andrew Carlson's face, honestly.
Oh,
so I know it's on the wheelhouse now because I read his face. So one of those three. I would probably guess. I don't know. It's tough. It could be either one of those three guys.
I mean, if they're the one guy that comes to mind that just seems like he would want to whore it out to whatever to get the sponsorship, might be the leader of the show.
I probably lean Jake or a BK, quite honestly. I think it's a BK joint.
All right, we'll go with it.
Let's go Brad Kellner.
Yeah.
Joe George.
If any of these strip clubs want to advertise here, I am happy to say whatever you guys want.
I thought you guys were to get there on that one. All right.
Yeah.
Number two.
Missed out on that one. I misread Andrew. I'm so disappointed in myself for misreading. Andrew got me.
He got you good.
Darn it.
All right, number two. The Astros with Montero's contract are going to have to eat it, eat it, eat it. Don't you make me repeat it.
Paul Gallant.
Joel Blank. It sounds like something Joel Blank would say.
Maybe back in the day.
Yeah, that to me is a Joel Blank. No, we can't use this show.
And we cannot
you
use
this
show.
You thought
that was funny, Joe. Okay.
You think it's good about Paul?
I mean, the first thing I would think about, the way Joe read it, too, so I could hear Paulie kind of raising his voice when he says it.
I think it's either Paul or Stutes. How many days did Paul work this week? Because I wasn't here Wednesday, Thursday.
He worked three.
Does that change the equation at all?
He worked three?
Yeah, he was off today and yesterday. I mean,
can you repeat it? Can you repeat it again, Joe, please?
The Astros with Montero's contract are going to have to eat it, eat it, eat it. Don't you make me repeat it.
Is that cheesy enough for Stutes?
Yeah.
Because whenever there's a heavy amount of cheese, and literally and figuratively, I always go to Stutes.
Oh, wow.
That's just my go-to.
Okay.
Is
just
that wrong
it.
Of me?
Just eat it. Go.
I just got the last one wrong, though.
Stutes.
All right, let's go Cody Stutes.
The Astros, with Montero's contract, are going to have
yes.
to
eat it. Eat it. Eat it.
Oh, he sang
the
song.
The Weird Al.
Don't you make me repeat it.
Oh, if I knew that, there would have been no doubt, because the cheese level there is at an all-time high. Oh, no.
Well, you got it right. You're
he
fine.
Did that.
I'm
not upset with us. I feel bad for Cody for doing that.
Well, shouldn't that make the same list that Gallant did when Gallant does all the country singer impersonations?
That one should definitely be Chump of the Week.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
about. Is that a Chump of the Week nomination, AC? Do you know this stuff yet on a Friday at 1:38?
I don't think it's a Chump of the Week. It was almost Champ of the Day, actually, because I mixed it down with the instrumental bit.
Oh, look at you adding production value to try to help him out.
Is that more Champ or Chump? 713-780-3776.
Eat it!
I've never felt...
Eat it!
Oh, man. Oh,
don't you
I've never felt worse to get one right in my life. Oh, no, Cody.
Ouchie.
Oh, all right, number three.
Oh, man. Number three. Oh. When is First Take going to have the balls to have this topic? Who is the best banger in the history of bangers? And we're not talking music.
That's either Paul or BK, I think.
Ooh, don't sell PC short.
But would he go to PC twice?
He might. Look, what have you said? What have you called him lately?
Bush League?
Yep. Bush League Bill back there. I cannot say that he wouldn't do that.
I don't think he'll go to the PC well until it runs dry.
This is going to give you a clear definition of who your producer is.
It is.
Based on how this plays out.
Say it again, please.
When is First Joe? Take going to have the balls to have this topic? Who is the best banger in the history of bangers? And we're not talking music.
Paul talks industry a lot.
He does. And he's obviously not afraid to go way over the edge when he wants to.
My hunches here are Paul and then like a wild card Lance.
Bench.
Specifically Lance, though.
I think you're right. I think it's Paul or Lance.
I'll call it.
I'm going to say Lance.
All right. Lance Zuerlein, Joe George.
And when is First Take going to have the balls to have this topic?
Happen.
Who is the
Dang
best
it.
Banger in the
happen.
History of bangers?
Dang it.
Oh, Joel.
Oh,
that was a tough look.
That's my bet.
I'm not going to lie. All right. Number four.
Yeah, that was my bet.
I almost like it for the bit. Number four.
I'm going to break out my bell bottoms, too, cover up my shoes.
That's it? That's quote? I'm going to break out
like,
my bell bottoms and cover up my shoes. Is that what you said?
Is that like how Abreu wears his pants?
A little bit. Say it again.
I'm going to break out my bell bottoms to
break out,
cover up my shoes.
Someone that basically said they can hit better than Abreu?
Was this about Abreu?
Didn't you say it was, Joe?
No, I didn't say that.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
I thought I said that it sounds like they might have been talking about Abreu the way he wears his pants, and you were like, yeah, I did.
Well, I think he was agreeing with your comparison, not that he was saying that's what it was in context
to. I didn't respond.
That's not true.
That's cheesy. Man.
I think it's BK. I feel like it's a BK one.
Okay.
Who's gonna have bell bottoms in their arsenal? Like BK's got a wide range.
I mean, who's gonna talk act like they have them? Because no one does.
Anybody would act. I mean, anybody that's self defecating would. That's jump of the week there.
Self defecating. Wow. Adult diaperish.
That's my bad.
Ouch. Where were you at, Schlitterbong? Where did that come from?
I slipped. It was an accident. I think it's either BK or I think it's BK.
Okay. I called the last one wrong. So if you want to go
with
it.
You think you can go Paula twice?
Again, look who we're dealing with. You call this one because I called the last one wrong. You called the first one wrong.
Say it one more time, Joe, and then I'll have my answer for you.
I'm going to break out my bell bottoms to cover up my shoes.
Let's go, Paul.
Okay.
I'm going to break out my bell bottoms to cover up my shoes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I thought the age thing might give it away with bell bottoms.
You think Granato wears bell bottoms, honestly?
Bell bottoms are back in.
He and BK are skinny jean guys.
All right. What are we, 2 for 4?
Yeah.
Yep. All right, number 5.
All right, quote 5.
I've always said that Andy Reid is holding up.
Yeah, this is the acting job.
I've always said that Andy Reid is holding up a restaurant menu instead of an actual play sheet.
Spider 2Y Bacon Cheeseburger.
Michael Carroll on the assist.
So this is, first of all, I knew
Baytown
that was a tape
Batty.
Segment. This is on the wheelhouse. This is Cody. It's just who participated, because I believe I heard this. So
probably BK. If BK's like the ultimate, like, chime in,
let's go.
On.
I think you're right. I think let's just call it Cody and BK.
There you go.
I've always said that Andy Reid is holding up a restaurant menu instead of an actual play sheet.
Spider 2Y Bacon Cheeseburger.
Yes, he did. You got BK and Cody.
I thought we had to get the order right.
Got it. No, just
both
participated.
People. No, got the order.
Right. Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Well, we beat you again. We beat you again, Joe. How does it feel?
No, you didn't.
What?
you got the first one
wrong. I
thought
we got 3 right.
No, you got 2 right. You got the first. You got the Cody one
right.
Oh,
I got 3 right.
Yeah. Joel choked it.
Okay.
Oh.
Wait, he didn't choke the first one?
I don't. You said Paul and Lance, and you went Lance.
He didn't choke. He didn't choke the fourth one when he said it was Paul again. He could go twice and didn't get that when I said you call it.
Yeah, but you didn't say the right one either. I didn't take the right one out of your mouth.
And you took 2 wrong, and I took 1 wrong.
But you never even mentioned Granato.
Joe, shut up.
All right, now with the draft behind us, what are the Rockets' needs in free agency? What now for the Rockets? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Pleasure Pier in Galveston on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Oh, it's a Friday. You know what a Friday means? Friday means that it is time for some Gin or Bin. I like a good drink at the end of the day, especially a Friday. Vodka, gin, bourbon, all in that rotation for me, and Gin or Bin Spirits does it all, and they do it better than anyone. How do they do it, you ask? Their revolutionary Percedo technology that eliminates impurities for the cleanest, smoothest spirits that you'll ever taste. Purification of Gin or Bin is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. Try a sip of Gin or Bin vodka, gin, straight bourbon, or the cask strength bourbon, and compare it to what you drink. You're never going to go back. I've been a Gin or Bin man ever since I had that first sip. You get all the flavor with none of the burn. It is smooth. It is clean. It eliminates that burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. Look for Gin or Bin at the liquor store on your way home today. Ask for it at your favorite restaurant or bar, or just head to the Gin or Bin tasting room. Stop by the Gin or Bin bar inside of Minute Maid Park as well. Gin or Bin, period.
The Astros, with Montero's contract, are going to have to
eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it. Don't you make me repeat it.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at the Pleasure Pier in Galveston, it's the Killer Bees.
I'm going to have nightmares. I'm not kidding.
Really?
I'm going to have nightmares about that song. Weird Al Yankovic.
Yankovic.
Okay. Yankovic. I don't know his music. That sounds like you're a big fan. You have all his CDs?
No.
Napster?
It is kind of something that I never expected to find out, that as dorky as that guy was.
Cody?
No.
Weird Al.
That in this documentary that came out, or a movie about his life, that he ended up with Madonna.
You watched the documentary about Weird Al?
I saw different clips that they put out and stuff, and then I saw people write about it.
in talking about the overall rating of the documentary and said, who knew Weird Al ended up with Madonna at one point in time?
I don't think that's surprising knowing Madonna.
It's just Rodman, you know, different guys that she's been with, and Weird Al? Just seems like a disconnect.
Have you seen Madonna recently?
Well, I didn't say it happened last week.
Right.
I know she's done a total reconstruct.
I don't think that anything Madonna does would surprise me.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I would think she has standards.
I don't think she does.
Okay.
713-780-ESPN. What's your favorite Weird Al song? 713-780-3776, because it's nothing to what Cody Stoots just put on tape.
Was Eat It the first one he did? I think it was.
What's that?
Eat It was the first one he did. He had full albums of nothing but these knockoff songs.
It shocks me how much you know of Weird Al.
At a time, I mean, in the MTV generation, he was a big deal.
Do they put Weird Al on MTV music videos?
Oh, God, all the time.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
I lost on Jeopardy.
What's
that? Another one. I lost on Jeopardy.
You do have his CDs.
I don't have the CDs. I remember the videos.
Man. You're a big Weird Al fan. I've never known
two.
That about you.
I don't
you.
Know if I can go three.
Now with the Rockets draft behind us, what are their needs in free agency? 713-780-3776. What do you want to see the Rockets do now after they drafted Amin last night at 4 and then Cam at 20?
Spend the money sensibly. Don't spend the money desperately. Don't go and try to get back your old girlfriend to try and see if you can resurrect the past chemistry and history and somewhat of the results that you had with James Harden. Stop living in the past and live in the future in the fact that your whole future is sitting on your roster right now. It's how you develop it, and it's not just about the coaching staff and getting the coaches right this time. It's about putting the right complimentary and big brother supervisory picks around them. Go get yourself a Fred VanVleet. Go get yourself veterans that can help themselves by getting money, but help this team by helping show them how to get better. And that's what I want to see them do as they go forward.
Specifically, I want two position groups. I want a big, a veteran big. I don't even care if he's a starter. Like, I'm willing to pay a veteran big and a veteran point guard top dollar to almost not play. Now, a veteran big, you have to have somebody that's going to get some minutes because Şengün and Jabari, I want them as my 4 and 5. You really have nothing there behind them that's going to get significant minutes. So you bring in a veteran to back up, you know, maybe one position, maybe two, that maybe you'd have to have some flexibility to play the 4 and the 5. But a veteran big that can play rotational minutes, 20 minutes, that's going to guide Şengün, that's going to guide Jabari and make them better because of a veteran in the room, like Case Keenum with C.J. Stroud. And then I would pay top dollar to a veteran point guard that can teach Amen Thompson how to be a good point guard in the NBA. I don't even need him to play a whole lot. I know that you like VanVleet. I'm cool with VanVleet if he can be that mentor, that tutor that I think Amen Thompson needs. But I'm willing with where the Rockets are to risk it all and go all in with the young players. I am to that point where I'm just going to see how far these young players can take me. And since you have to spend money, and because you need a big that can get minutes, you need some backup point guard minutes as well, I want to spend top dollar on whoever's going to help groom Jabari and Alpi to be the backup big, and then a point guard that can come in, probably be the starter for the first year or two, that's going to groom Amen Thompson to be the point guard to take over someday.
It's easier to do that scenario knowing that the point guard that you bring in knows they're going to get starters minutes for the first 2 years while you just continue to kind of mature and grow with Amen Thompson. I think the big, especially with the name of Brook Lopez that's come up.
That's the name I want.
He's not going to be cool with 20 minutes a game, and he's not going to be cool with trying to pick up minutes at center and
so
power forward. I don't know, but that's what I'm saying. That's the fine line you walk with bringing in veterans. They're coming in knowing they're the big dog in a marketplace where it's not just about the money. These guys still expect to play. If I'm Brook Lopez and Milwaukee comes anywhere close to, and maybe they don't even have to come as close to Houston's offer, but yet I know I'm the starting center and I'm going to get all the minutes I need. I'm going to shoot threes and I'm going to be one of the main pieces counted on. I'm going to continue to play in a situation like that as opposed to coming in as a part-time babysitter that's only going to get 20 minutes a game.
I don't know. If the Rockets offered him 25 to play 20 minutes a game and Milwaukee or Brooklyn offered him 15 to get 30, I think it depends on the player.
See, Milwaukee's in a conundrum because of the fact that Middleton opted out, which as a Bucks fan growing and knowing people in Milwaukee, there's a lot of people that said that's a blessing that he opted out. But now they're expecting to replace him with a better player. And I don't know that there's a better player out there you can replace him with. But from a Lopez perspective, I don't think they're gonna nickel and dime him down to 10 or 15. I think they're going to keep him. They know he's worth at least 20 a year. But they have to wait to see what they're going to do with the Middleton situation before they go out and attack Lopez. If he's not willing to wait, then there's going to be plenty of suitors that want him. But I think the suitors that want him are going to be better teams that are going to have more minutes for him than what you just described.
If Brook Lopez is demanding to be a starter, I'm not signing him.
I think that's where it ends.
I want Jabari and Şengün to be my starting four and five. Like, period.
I do too.
Period.
I'm with you. But I think that for those that have been enamored with bringing him here, I think that's one thing they didn't consider, is that this guy still thinks he's a frontline center in terms of minutes and the role he plays on a team. And if you're bringing him in there, yeah, it's nice money. But if he's not going to get the minutes, he still thinks he's worthy of playing and that he deserves to play and that he wants to play.
Yeah.
I think that that's going to discourage him from coming.
Who would you bench in that scenario?
I mean, I think it would be more along the lines of he's going to be the guy that's going to be out there the majority of the time, and the other two guys split the minutes to be out there at the other two positions. And so when he sits down, then, you know, Şengün moves to the five, but Şengün can pick up some minutes at the four because we know he's got to learn some things defensively. But Jabari's going to be, in my mind, the starting four, but then he can pick up some spot minutes playing more of a stretch five. And do some other things as well. But I think the one guy that's not going to be willing to give up the minutes that I'm not sure is supposed to in this scenario is Brook Lopez.
Yeah. I mean, it's valid points. If that's what it's going to require, though, then I'm out. Like, I don't want Şengün coming off the bench. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Franklin, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Franklin?
Yeah, first off, guys, Weird Al has 5 Grammys, so he's the GOAT. But my question is, if you guys could project your starting lineup dealing with free agency and everything for the Rockets next year, with all the new people that's coming in and your wish list for free agency, what does the perfect Rockets starting lineup look next year?
Good question, Franklin. Thank you. And the fact that Weird Al has 5 Grammys is just absolutely disgusting.
He's not the GOAT either. That's absurd.
Who is?
The GOAT?
Yeah.
I mean, where do you want me to start? Do you want to talk about history of pop? You want to go rock and roll? There's so many genres.
Michael Jackson,
Elvis is in the list.
Right? Yeah.
You want to go vocalist? I mean, Weird Al being in that conversation is ridiculous.
No doubt it's ridiculous. Disgusting. It literally is disgusting.
Point guard for me is probably whatever free agent you're signing. Like, I don't want Harden. I don't know if I love Van Vliet on 4 years, though. Like, that kind of scares me. The wings, I want Jabari at one of them. Quite honestly, I want KPJ as a wing. I want a year under Kevin Porter Jr. playing the wing under Udoka to see what that looks like. So I'm probably bringing on – I don't love the idea of Tate coming back, which scares me what Kelly Eco had to say earlier in the show. Go back and listen to it, ESPN975.com. And then at the three, I just said I want KPJ and Jabari and Jalen as my wings. Jabari I want as my four. Şengün I want as my five. So I'll go there. I'll go Van Vliet at the point. I'll go Jalen at the two, KPJ at the three. And it's interchangeable. They're both wings. I don't care who's playing the two, who's playing the three. And then give me Jabari as my four, Şengün as my five.
That's exactly what I've said all along that I've always wanted, which I want KPJ to play the two. I want Jalen to play the three because I don't want KPJ handling the ball anymore.
Yeah.
Even when Schroeder was on this team, I said, you need a veteran point guard that can keep the turnover machine from doing what he does best and let him be a basketball player that can score, that can make buckets, that can make some shots, see if he can play the two and be consistent enough. But that my ideal starting lineup is Fred VanVleet at the one and KPJ at the two, Jalen at the three, Jabari at the four, Şengün at the five, and then as you get into the rotation of the bench where you spend the rest of your money, I like Grant Williams.
So you don't want Lopez then?
I don't want Brook Lopez. I've never wanted Brook Lopez, and I don't think he's the right fit for this team, and I don't think it's what he wants to be with this team. I think he still wants to win games. I think he wants to play a significant role where he plays, and I don't think that makes sense for the Rockets or for him. So I think the bench, I want Grant Williams. And I want Grant Williams as a guy that the coach knows and trusts and really likes the things he brings to the table. He can play multiple positions. He's not as negatively affecting a team as Draymond Green does with the distractions, but he's tough. And he can play the post positions, and he's going to give you energy, and he's also capable of knocking down the three. I think that's the kind of guy that's perfect for this bench. And then as you talk about the younger players, they're going to fill in a lot of more of the minutes. I think you can still look to trade a Tate. I know that their teams are interested. They don't like the fact that Stone did what he didn't have to do and extended him too early, yeah. But they still like Tate on their team. And they know that there is a glutton of players that play the same position at the 3-4 with this team. So I think that it would be in their best interest to clear some space and maybe get a veteran that way.
Yeah.
But if they're still spending money, then you know, give me another veteran off the bench to do a shooter if you can find one.
I think I'd rather trade for a veteran point guard who has like 2 years on his deal, even if it's big money, than sign Van Fleet. Because I don't think that he's part of your core. Like, I think your core are these young players. And if it means that I have to spend 4 years on them at max money, I think I'd rather trade for a high-priced point guard for a year or two.
Did you see somewhere that Van Vliet wants four?
I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
To me, I agree with you that four might be a little much. But, you know, the same way you said, if you're willing to overspend on the center so that he can do that role, I'm adamant about the fact they need something else at point guard and they need a veteran. So I don't mind overspending, but overspending money-wise is different than overspending years-wise.
Agreed. 713-780-3776. What is your priority now in free agency, now that the draft is done and you know who are here? Over the next 5 years, which team has the most playoff success, the Rockets or the Texans? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.